Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In the world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We got a tremendous show for you tonight. My first guest truly is a homie. A family member, a friend, amiga, whatever you want to call her. She's been around for a minute. You know, she is one tremendous aspect of the mat that I truly love. And it's an honor to actually have her back on the show after such a long hiatus. Welcome, Big Bird, Brittany Olinda Elkin. What's happening, Britt?
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me on. Just having a good night, you know?
Yeah. You know, I look back, I was trying to think about before we went live, and it's like, you've been coming on the show for a minute now.
I'm pretty sure one of the first was my pro debut or something like that, so quite a while now.
Yeah. You know, I asked John, you know, he said, I don't do MMA anymore, I'm not part of the aspect of the sport. But you know what, you created a path that not many have, and you're also a tremendous practitioner, and you've done a lot in the BJJ world. What does it mean for you to kind of close out a chapter and truly start to fulfill the BJJ chapter?
I definitely went through a small identity crisis because MMA was always, like, my passion, and I was pretty sure that I was going to be really good at it my whole time, so letting go of it after... I let go of it after my last fight was over a year ago versus Bobby Joe. I really kind of didn't know where I was going because my arm was broke, so I couldn't have that outlet of, like, doing BJJ or training MMA or, like, my normal everyday routine was that, you know? And, yeah, I've come full circle, and now I'm back in, and I can, like, look at it from hindsight points and recognize that I really did have an amazing career and I still do. And I'm not as, like, kind of lost in translation. I have a place still in the BJJ community and I still help a lot of women get ready to compete anymore in MMA.
That's not necessarily a bad thing because, you know, your passion for jiu-jitsu is tremendous, what you do on the mat. You're a beast. You know, I've always loved that aspect. You know, when I first got into jiu-jitsu, it's funny. When I first got into it, I hated it. I hated it because I was shooting seminars, and I was like, these guys want to pay me $350 for 2 hours to shoot them, and I don't get it, but okay, cool. And time went on. And then I had Professor J.W. Wright on my show. And as we all know, he owns Fuji Sports, Fuji BJJ, all different aspects. And I said, you know, you've pretty much have filled your plate. What else could J.W. Wright do in life? He said, well, to be honest with you, my one goal is to see you put down a camera and put on a gi. And I was like, okay. And so I go to shoot a seminar. And there's a gi. I get there a little bit early, and there's a gi laying on the corner of the mat. And they said, hey, go put that on. And so my first day in jiu-jitsu, I got choked out by Professor J.W. Wright. at least I knew a little bit more than he thought I did, or at least what I than what I thought I did, because, you know, through the camera you don't think you learn, but perceptually I guess the mind teaches you. And that's one thing that Professor J.W. Wright brought up, was my ability to ascertain what I've shot and use it on the mat. And now I love jiu-jitsu. I'll tell you what, I've had some of the greatest professors in the world on my show, and jiu-jitsu practitioners are the most humble people I've ever met in the sport. What is it about jiu-jitsu that truly does bring Big Bird to a full circle? What is it about it that keeps you happy?
You know, it's the one place that I can actually disconnect and like also connect. You know, I'm connecting with my thoughts and applying them, and I'm disconnected from, like, you know, this day-to-day things that can really clog up your, you can become negative and stuff, like, and the things like we talked about before we went live, you know, just things that happen in life can bring you down negative. And whenever I am competing or just in class for, you know, personal growth, I just get to disconnect from all those things and kind of just be present. I feel like it's, you know, another place is like I meditate or something after it, and I feel like I get to release a lot of those negativity things in that process. And then I love learning, and I love being like, whoa, that was cool, you know, and something to do it to somebody in comp, and I, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I always know nothing, and then so I always feel like going in there and working and stuff and just continuing to evolve and stuff like that, it just makes me not get negative, you know, like, so, yeah, I guess if I could answer it that way, it would just be like that I feel the self-improvement in every class, you know?
Yeah. You know, I've always wondered this, and I've never asked anybody on my show, I think, this. Is it easier, because you've competed in both sports, which sport would you say it's easier? Would it be easier to leave it in the ring, or would it be easier to leave it in the mat, on the mat creations?
Do you mean like what is an easier competitive sport?
I'll articulate a little bit better. You know, sometimes when we go out there and we get taught a lesson, we don't have the greatest night. Is it easier for you to leave it in the cage, or is it easier for you to leave it on the mat, that aspect of the sport?
I mean, the cage definitely gives you the absolute highest highs in victory and the lowest lows in defeat. And, I mean, you can still find the positive and in negatives in both. But, you know, like, I have never been more proud of myself when I've competed well in the cage, and also never been more personal letdown when I haven't, you know. I mean, I think you have the extremes, like jumping off a cliff and wondering if your parachute's going to open in the cage. So, I mean, those are definitely elevated experiences and memories, and, you know, there's a lot more feeling in MMA and victory and defeat, you know. Whichever way it goes, there's a lot more of it, you know. And then in jiu-jitsu, I think it's just the longevity of the sport, and, like, the progression is, you know, it is over a longer period of time. So, like, your victories maybe are as, like, personally satisfying to other people. And it still is. I mean, obviously, I love jiu-jitsu. I'm not trying to say anything like that. But I think that, like, the high that you get from MMA is definitely more gratifying. But I think I don't know how to explain this, because I'm equally now leaving it happily in jiu-jitsu. It sounds all crazy and weird. I didn't explain myself very well.
Yeah, you did.
I just am saying, like, I find true love and passion in jiu-jitsu, and I can go home and now be perfectly happy with that. But when I was doing both, I definitely found that I wanted those MMA victories more than I wanted the jiu-jitsu victories, because I enjoyed that life type more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, because, like, if you won, I've won PANs before, and I've won, or I've taken second, I guess, in Worlds, and, like, those are incredibly, like, you go home with those medals, and you're like, man, I've fucking, all these years of work, it's led up into this gold medal at PANS, or you know what I mean? And those are definitely like rewarding feelings and feelings, and you walk taller and stuff. But again, like those MMA things, it's like there's so much build, there's so much personal emotion going through you when you're leading up into the cage and exiting it, you know. So I don't know. I don't really get to know how to answer it because I'm passionate about both. So
I get you. You know, because I mean, I've shot some of the greatest promotions in the world on the MMA side, and then I go up and I shoot Respect, and I gotta tell you, I was totally caught off guard. I was totally caught out of element. Here I go and I'm stoked. I am yoked because it's a black belt invitational only, and so I'm standing in a room with 28 to 30 of the greatest practitioners that ever stepped on the mat, and I'm just all yoked. And you know, I'm thinking it's going to be like, you know, an MMA event because I had never done it before. And I get out there, and they call Jorge Olivato, and he comes out, and you get this little T-clap. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? You know, it was like, it caught me off guard. But, I mean, it was still exhilarating, and it was still a tremendous aspect of the sport to watch. But the crowds are totally different. It's two different type of aspects of the sport. So I get where you're coming from. You really can't differentiate the two because they both have a place in your heart. You know, speaking of hearts, you know, I may be wrong, and you could slap me if I am, but away from the sport, has Big Bird found an aspect of life that has truly made her happy?
I would say that I am a happy person. I like being a driven person. That's why I always loved MMA. You know, I liked having a schedule, you know, go to the morning conditioning, go to the class, the learning, and then go to the comp sparring. You know, I like those schedules. I like those regimens. I function well under those regimens. Again, when I first got out of that fight, and I don't know if you know, but I broke my arm really bad by blocking a head kick from Bobby, and my ulna was completely broken, and I was in a cast for long. It took me about a year, seriously, to get fully able to take like a full class again, and open rolling, and my arm to be able to rotate, and all those things. So I had to find happiness in outside passion, you know. My boyfriend, he rolls, so I'd always be sidelined, you know, in the gym, and that sometimes depresses you up more. So I started running a bar, to be honest, and then as fighters, we all kind of have addictive personalities. I was addicted to like making my sales better and making all these things better, but then personally unsatisfied. So I feel a renew coming back in and like getting ready for Master Worlds, and I plan on being on the Fight to Win Pro stage again. And I have found, I found my heart again, and it feels good. I went through a lull, you know?
Yeah. A buddy of yours, Corey guy, said, let Brittany know I said hello and we'll always be on her team. You know,
Corey's always, always on the team. He's a wonderful fan. And thank you, Corey. Appreciate that. You're very supportive.
Yeah. See, you gave me a long answer to a question I was trying to get at real short, but I guess that's the border of Walters in me. I was talking about your relationship, which you brought up. You know, I think it's cool, man. To see Brittany happy is righteous, you know. It's like, because I know the adversity that you've gone through in life and in sport through all the years we've been doing shows. So, yeah. I mean, this is, honestly, you sound happier than hell right now, my friend.
You know, I mean, I'm with a good match. You know, Matt is, he's also a fighter. We understand, you know, what he's going through. He's actually, you know, he does professional jiu-jitsu, like for the Fight to Win Pros and all that too. But he's a high-level jiu-jitsu competitor. And then he fights MMA still, so I feel really connected in this is a boyfriend that, like, you know, I can be really supportive and also understand what he's going through. You know, we kind of we help each other out, like, in all kinds of ways. And, yeah, I think I am finally, you know, happy. My son's all grown. He's almost 14. And crazy to think when I started MMA, he was only 3. So, yeah, I guess disconnecting from MMA now, it's brought out a little bit of personal happiness because I've made time for those people to be more present to me, you know.
That's dope, my friend. You know, I've always wanted to ask you because you're a competitor and you've given everything you've had. What does pride, passion, and perseverance truly mean to Brittany Elgin?
So pride to me is, you know, I like to know my value and worth, and I mean, I also like to, like, be prideful, like, yeah, fucking, I did that. I tried it. I failed, but I tried it. I did that. And it makes you walk tall, and it makes you know what you can overcome, you know, with the passion. There's a lot that goes with that. If you are prideful, the passion has to be there. You know, you have to be, like, if you're the fucking best cook in the world, you got to fucking put some passion into that food. Otherwise, you're not the best cook, you know. So if you're the best fighter in the world, your heart has to be 100% committed to that. You know, you have to see the dream even when you're a loser. You know what I mean? And then... perseverance is fucking, you know, breaking your arm in half and then coming back and still trying to go to world, you know, a year later. So I feel that I've always had those naturally because, like, I'm stubborn as fuck, you know, and I like to feel prideful, you know. I like to be like, oh, that's Brittany Elgin, and I'm, you know, gloating or anything like that. But I like to be like, yeah, that's the fuck I am. I'm Brittany fucking Elgin, and I'm fucking proud of that, you know. And that's kind of that... I guess what it means to me is I like to walk out my house feeling that way. You know, I'm Brittany fucking Elgin. You know what I mean? And I guess that's
I love
what
it.
I am.
Well, yeah, you got to tell. That's one thing I love about my show. It gives you the ability to do that. But, you know, I remember years ago when I met you, and it was like I did a little, you know, I was watching around and watching some different aspects, and I kept being, you know, seeing people call you Big Bird or hashtag Big Bird, and it just caught me off guard. So I've always taken to the shows and called you that, you know, and we've always made fun of it. You've always been a tremendous sports show after show after show. You know, I want to ask you a question that I asked Chris Brennan just a couple weeks ago. You know, when you're in the gym all alone and you're standing on the mat, and sometimes in life we get a reflection or we get to see an inner aspect of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Who does Brittany Elgin see when she's sitting there alone on the mat?
Mostly I see somebody who has, like, before the whole career, you know, I don't... That's fucking weird. I'm trying to think how I envision that. I just see that I'd done it, you know. If I wanted to open a business, I did it. And then I wanted to fight in the cage. I fucking did that for 10 years. And then I am, you know, I'm driven. And I'm like, I know that I can accomplish what I want, you know, if I really want that. And I know that I have found out who I am through of actually doing that, you know what I mean? So who I see is a strong chick that has compassion and somebody that's not ignorant to the stuff that, you know, people that are new, I don't have to be a dick to them. I'm just a nice, strong, bold chick that, yeah, has compassion for other people, you know? I'm a mom, you know? I have a 13-year-old, and I'm happy with this human that I've become. So I don't have a title for it. I'm just a happy, becoming old lady. You know what I mean?
you're nowhere near old guy. Think about it. My son's 33. I'm 55.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
You know what I mean. I'm just saying, like, in this life that I live in right now, the person in this body is – you know, happy with the things I've overcome to become this version of myself. You know, I couldn't say that, you know, 15 years ago. I was kind of a piece of shit. You know what I mean? And if I'm alone in a gym, I'm kind of reflecting on things that have taught me, like, lessons to make me a better person. And I just, I like this version of myself. So I don't have a title for it. I'm just, you know, content.
Yeah. It's dope, though, because you're understanding life and you're going through these phases, these aspects. And, I mean, that's what I try to tell people all along. It's like, you know, especially with men, we hit 18, we think we're a man. And because we got some ID that says, you know, we're an adult. Really, we're nothing. We're still a kid. You hit 30 and you go, what the hell did I do with the first 30 years of my life? But let me tell you, you know, I hit 50 and I was like, what the hell have I really done?
Yeah.
And I started having a lot more compassion and passion for the things that I've done. And, you know, this sport is a harsh place. The reality of it is, you know, the circle is truly small on the MMA side of it. I love the jiu-jitsu side of it because it's a brotherhood that's unique and sisterhood that's unique. But, you know, I found myself caught in kind of a web where I would just go do an event and just shut the world off and just not even want to deal with anybody anymore that was in the sport. You know, truly I was an extrovert, living an extrovert's life, but in an introvert's body. You know, and to hear you say that you finally feel comfortable where you're at, Brittany, that's tremendous because that's a hard place to find, my friend.
Yeah. And it kind of just happened, too, you know. I had a couple panic attacks when it, like, hit me that I was actually going to, you know, leave this great, you know, sport, competing anyway. And then it just, like, kind of just was like, it shaped me, you know. I finally started to actually look in the mirror and not only see, like, I still see Brittany fucking Elkin. I used to see a different one, though, you know, and I looked in the mirror. I was like, I need to do this. I need to do this. I'm going to be this thing. I'm going to be this champion. And now I'm like, no, I know this. I'm going to do this because this is, like, what I actually need. I felt like I kind of filled a bunch of nonsense when I was training for MMA because I just wanted to get to that finish line and finally make it and show everybody what I could do and, you know what I mean? And now I feel like, no, I fucking did that, and I know this, and now I feel more stable, I guess, if that makes sense, and I'm describing it better.
Oh, yeah.
So, mentally, what I mean.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it any better. You know, you walked away from MMA, but you're still competing in jiu-jitsu. You know, what's up on the plate for Big Bird? I mean, I know back in the day you're always constantly doing something.
Well, I've, like I said, in January 2019, I broke my ulna in three places, blocking a head kick from Bobby. And I fought for 4 minutes after, so I did extra damage. And then for whatever reason, I refused surgery that night, and they squeezed it. I just wanted them to squeeze it and put it in a cast, and that's what they did. So I had, like, a lot of longer healing than your average athlete, and it really, like, it did sideline me, and I thought it was bad, but it let me, like, view myself, you know. And what's in the future, so I'm coming back after that. That was a long story to say, like, I'm just now getting, like, rotational strength in my arm. Like, if you lock me up in an Americana or a Kimura, I can actually fight it off, which took a while to get that back because my ulna was so broke I couldn't get a rotation at all. Like, if you singled out that arm, I had nothing, you know. And we plan, me and my head coach, one of my very trusted friends, Brad Nicolarson, he's my black belt, we plan to put me in Master Worlds. I've done some local tournaments, and I'm back with Fight to Win touring again. So I was going to request from Seth to put me back on the stage for them because I did about, you know, 10 a year when I was touring with them. And I plan on just getting back to that. You know, I want to be that version again, you know, still competing, a lot of stage time and just back in, like, Pans and Worlds And I always love hopping in local tournaments, just mostly to meet people. I'm like, I want to meet these fucking folks that are coming up, you know. I feel like I know a lot of the community, and I just enjoy fighting them, but not like, you know what I mean. Just like, I enjoy going to Chicago and hopping in a tournament, or going to California, or going to Texas, you know, and... Yeah, I'm just going to continue on that. That's my march that's going to come this year is, we're in March already, but I mean, like, the board movement that I'm going to do this year is be in Masters Worlds by August and probably hit the stage a few times for the pro. So.
That'll be dope. That would be dope.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited.
This last year, I got to tell you, was kind of hard on me in the jiu-jitsu world. I lost 3 brothers this last year in jiu-jitsu, and it was just, but see, a lot of people, let me explain to my listeners, and if you're Brittany's fans that are listening, I'm a para-athlete, so I dealt a lot in para-athletics, and I dealt a lot with a lot of the people that were, you know, military veterans and things of this nature that took to jiu-jitsu, and one of my best brothers ever in jiu-jitsu was Ronald Mann, and we created an aspect in jiu-jitsu that allowed para-athletes to now fight able-bodied athletes, which was something that was really hard for us to do. The Gracies fought us tooth and nail from Brazil, but we were able to get it through J.W. Wright and Fuji Promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and, you know, it was one of the hardest days for me ever. He committed suicide, so it was like, It drug me down, and it kind of wanted to pull me away from the sport. But then I had people like John Veloso Wano. I had Felicia O, Phil Dunlap, Tom DeBlas, and others tell me, you know, bro, you got to get back on the horse again. You got to get back sharing what you love to do. And so I kind of have, but I don't know. At jiu-jitsu, I've kind of taken a step away from shooting it for a moment, because of the simple fact that, I don't know, it's just, sometimes it's too hard in life to go back, or it's too soon, I guess is the best way to say it. Because I have so many memories of my brothers on the mat. And, you know, it's like right before that, I was in Joplin, Missouri, and I was shooting Professor Jared Dobbs' seminar. And Travis, a good buddy of mine, who was his right-hand man, you know, was his brown and purple belt that he took everywhere with him through his career. And it was like, I hadn't seen him in years, and I got to see him. And then an hour and a half later, he was dead. So it was like, you know, it's been a rough year. You know, so I get what you're saying about coming 360, finding yourself, creating a new path, and reinstilling yourself on the old path that you walked. Brittany, you've always been tremendous in jiu-jitsu, you know. I can't wait for the artistry to have you back. You know, what has it meant for you to be able to, I know it has to drive you nuts to see, sit there and work for the promotion, but not be able to compete.
Yeah.
How has that been?
Yeah. You know, it was funny that you say that. I was just rolling with Seth today, and he was like, "You're fat." And I was like, "Shut up." And then he's like, "Well, if you get skinnier, I'll put you back on the stage." And we were just kind of bullshitting. But yeah, I mean, like, it's hard to not be, I love competing, you know, I'm going to love competing even when I'm older, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure I'll get more injuries, and I'm sure I'll overcome more things, which will make me even better person, but it means right now, it was hard to watch last year. Yeah, it was hard because I wasn't even close to coming back, you know, but the people are so fucking awesome. Like, I love working the door in every city that we go to and being like, oh man, what's up? I haven't seen you since, you know, last time, and catching up with them. So those guys kind of brought me back. Everybody's been so like, hey, how you doing? How's that arm doing? Everybody's been encouraging. So like actually coming back though, nothing's been more fulfilling than like winning double gold last week and beating up all my friends. You know what I mean? Like that was super fun. my heart is happy again. It's like picked up a little bit and put in the right place again. It felt like it sunk into my body cavity for a while. So I feel good.
I like that. You know, it's good to sound, hear you sound happy again. You know, I hadn't heard from you, so it was like I jumped in here and like, are we still cool, homie?
I remember that. I'm like, why wouldn't we be? I just kind of, like I said, when I quit, I just kind of needed to shut down for a minute. You know, like when you're hurt, you need to go hide and get better.
Yeah.
I just kind of needed to go hide for a minute and find out where I was going to point my direction. You know what I mean? And I feel good. And I'm never not your homie. I mean, we've been friends long enough to talk it out, you know? And that's just the mentality I kind of have with my everything now, you know?
Yeah. I dig it because you've grown up, my friend. You've come a long way.
I know. Oh. I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I can't remember for sure. I could Google it on myself, but I think I became a pro around 2011, and it's just incredible because I look at myself and like the pictures and the person I was back then, and I'm so happy I got beat up a few times, so I'm actually nice and good now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like,
now that you're back and you know things are on the horizon, you talk about winning double gold last weekend, you know,
yeah,
what is, I mean, that's gotta be. I mean, that had to put a smile on your heart. Not only did you, like you said, you get to see friends, but you had to come to the realization that, you know, hey, I am kind of back. Hey, I can't start doing this again.
Oh, it totally. You know what's funny is sometimes at tournaments, I've been to a ton of them. I used to tournament a lot when I was a blue belt and a purple belt and a white belt. But I kind of, you know, went through all this. I wanted to make my MMA career, so I let a couple things go. And, yeah, I was a little nervous to come on that mat. I had already done, obviously, hard training prior to the tournament. But when I hit the mat, I was like, oh, my God, my arm's going to break again or something. I don't know. It was just like this weird mental, you know, safety flight or flight thing that happens to us. And then I started going, and I was like, dude, this is fine. And then it did. It made me feel fresh, you know, to go out and win a double gold at a local tournament. And I did it. I got two subs and 2 point wins, and my brackets weren't huge or anything, but I still was like, damn, dude, I felt really good. And I feel even better that like my mind let go of those simple fears, you know, and is just like, all right, let's go now. You know what I mean? I feel back to myself.
That's dope. I like that. You know, I wish I would have scheduled a longer slot because it just feels like we're just getting started. But, you
mm-hmm.
know, I got one more question I'm going to ask you. I'm going to have you back on shortly because
you call me in we just
got too much to talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you had to paraphrase your thoughts now on the return, the rebirth, the third chapter, whatever you want to call it, about Brittany Elkin coming back into the artistry of jiu-jitsu, what would that statement say, my friend?
Now I actually believe in myself. Now I, you know, watch out a little bit because now I'm a little more confident than I used to be, and I'm rebuilt, and I'm happy, so I'll fight happy. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm not as intimidated anymore, and that statement would probably just be like, watch out because I'm coming back. I don't know.
I would want to be your opponent.
Yeah.
I'd be scared to be your opponent. Forget that.
That's what I need you to tell people. Be scared of me.
Well, they should be already. You know, I'm so stoked. To hear you speak, it makes me happy because, like I said, you've been on my show a multitude of times, and
mm-hmm.
I've seen the ups, the downs, but I've never seen the true Brittany Elkin, and that's who I had on my show today, and it just sucks because I didn't make the interview longer because, like I said, we're just getting started, but my friend, I'm proud of you. It's been an honor each and every time to have you on my show. I'm going to pass the mic to you if you have any friends, sponsors, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program. the floor is yours.
Thank you. I want to say thanks to you first. Thanks for always putting me on and giving me a voice. At this point in my life, I am thankful for anybody that supported me through that whole thing and my growth in all my careers. I'm very thankful to have those people, because when you're having a bad day, just a little, just acknowledge, you know, you feel good when people believe in you. And that has got me, you know, 11 years in martial arts. And not that I'm looking for people, but thank you to all the supporters for the long time support, and my family that's put up with me for that 10 years of starving myself and then fighting and breaking myself and coming back to it. And they still love and support me. So yeah, I have nothing but good blessings towards all that. And I don't even have anybody I hate to like call out right now. So I'm just going to put good vibes out there and hope to get them back.
Most definitely. Now, where can my listeners find you on social media, Big Bird?
At BooJet86 on Instagram and Brittany Olinda Elkin on Facebook. I think I still have an athlete page that has a bunch of likes, but I don't turn it on, so you won't find me.
Well, buddy, it was a true honor to have you back on the show tonight. I look forward to having you back on again shortly. Like I said, it kind of sucks because we're just getting started, getting warmed up, but we'll get you back on for an hour special, and we'll just have a one-on-one sit down, and we'll shoot the crap. How's about that?
I appreciate that so much, Don. Anytime, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of the show. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you. You have a good night, bud.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was my buddy. Hey, it sucks, man. I wish we could have did 45 to an hour, because we're just getting started. And it's been a rough day for me, and I'm not feeling the greatest, but I started to have a little bit of fun. But we got a beast coming on in David Onama.
Yes, hello?
David, welcome to the Fighter's Voice. How you doing, bro?
How you doing, Don?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Maybe, hey, hopefully you won't be as nervous this time as you were last time, homie.
I'm never nervous.
Well, that was quite evident in your last fight. You know, I kind of want to talk about that a little bit, if you don't mind, about the night of weigh-ins, the video that was made. You know, I've always respected you, David. I've always, since the beginning, I've always said that you were going to be something in this sport. You know, what did it mean for you to fight this last weekend? I guess it was in Fighting Alliance Championships too. And how hard was it for you to maintain, you know, yourself against Castillo?
Man, coming out on FHU2, that was my fourth pro fight. And, man, honestly, you know, it's been a long journey for me, man. Just getting an opportunity to fight on that card, you know, that means a lot to me. And, man, it's a blessing, man. So.
It was kind of crazy because homeboy was talking a lot of smack, to the point where it got you a little upset, and you wanted to have the fight come weigh-ins. You know, what was it that held you back? Well, I know it was Joe Wooster and a couple of other aspects that held you back, but
yeah.
What was it that made you take the higher road, you know, and say, you know what, we're just going to squash this in the cage, homie? And you truly did.
So, yeah, before the fight, it was weigh-ins. And, you know, I was just, you know, doing paperwork, you know, and, like, blood work and all that kind of stuff, seeing the doctors. And he just came up to me. He was like, man, like, where you been? I've been looking for you. Look, I can see you all scared, trying to hide and stuff. And honestly, I was just in the back doing paperwork. He was like, you've been, like, an hour late and stuff like that. But he was trying to get in my head, you know what I mean? But I wasn't letting that happen. So he started pushing me and stuff. You know, I wasn't no punk. I was trying to let him know, like, man, I'm not no punk. So I kind of pushed him off and grabbed on him. And my manager, Joe Wooster, started breaking it up. And everybody started breaking the fights up. But, you know, he tried to, like, have me go in his head and stuff like that. But I wasn't having it, man.
No.
Like, he thought I was scared or something. But
Well, come fight night, you showed the world that you weren't scared. You know, you put a beating on him and kind of shut him up. You know, I want my listeners to know, you know, even though David said this is his fourth pro fight, one thing you got to realize, he's had a hell of a lot more fights than that, and he's on a 14-fight winning streak. Or is it 15 now, David?
It's 14.
14. You know, so this young man is no stranger to the sport. You know, a while back, you and I had an opportunity. We got to sit at Legacy Fighting Alliance, and I was sitting with a buddy of mine, Pat Miletich. What did it mean for someone like Pat Miletich to want to get to know you and try to correlate something for Legacy before it bit the dust? You know, he was a gentleman that saw the potential in you like James Krause and Zach Cummings and Joe Wooster do. What does it mean for David Onama to now have some of the biggest eyes in the sport watching your ability?
Man, it means a lot, man. That day when I met him, it was a blessing, man. I was glad that you introduced me to him, man, because, you know, he's a Hall of Famer, man, you know what I mean? So he's shaking his hand, man. That's a blessing, you know what I mean? And this is, his promotion is so big, man. And just, you know, one of these days, I hope I get on there, man. You know what I mean? Just fighting the fight on the card, man. That would mean a lot, bro. Like,
well, you know I got it like that, bro. We'll work it out. I tagged
yeah.
him in this post, and
I saw that.
Yeah. Well, you know, what you've done, David, you know, if my listeners don't know, I shot Glory as a gym photographer for years, where I met David. And, you know, I saw a young man when I first met you that you could tell had tremendous talent, tremendous ability, but just hadn't honed it in yet. How much did Zach Cummings and James Krause, how much knowledge did they instill in you, David, to create the young gladiator that you've become? Because people might say, oh, yeah, he's only 4-0 as a pro, but you're on a 14-fight win streak. I don't even think you've lost the fight. You know, you've already proven to the sport that you belong here. But what was it for the teachings from them, too, that truly made you realize this was the path that you needed to be on?
Man, Zach Cummings and James Krause, oh, man, they're good coaches, man. Like, you know, they believe in me since day one, man. Like, I'm happy to be where I'm at because without them, I don't know where I would be, man. So they pushed me a lot to where I'm at today, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, those are really good coaches, man. I feel like a family, man, just being around them. Every time I walk in the gym, you know, there's always respect, there's always love between James and Zach. There's always love, man, the family, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, David, I kind of want to ask you a hard question. You know, and I feel like I'm really one of the few radio shows that can ask you this question. I asked it of Zach, and now I'm going to ask it of you. How hard was it on David Onama and all of Glory to lose someone like William Joplin?
Man, that was devastating, man. It was hard to believe, man, because, man, that broke everybody, man. It broke me hard. Because, like, the day before he passed away, was that Ben's house, just watching the fights. We was watching the fights, man. He wasn't feeling really good. Like, he was dying, man. So just spending that last time with him meant a lot. Because we was watching the fights on Saturday, and he passed away, I think, Monday morning or Tuesday morning. So, man, it broke everybody, man. Like, Joplin was a family to me, man. He's like my big brother, man. So him passing away, that's unreal, man.
It changes life, and it changes aspects.
It does.
You know, I had Joe Wilk on my show the other night, who's getting ready to fight in BKFC 11, And his last MMA fight, he had lost to William Joplin. And he had brought up on the show that he was going to dedicate his fight in BKFC 11 to William Joplin.
Yeah.
You know, he said that this sport is a trip because he said you might talk crap with each other. You might have a little, you know, arguments this and there before the fight. But after you fight somebody, you truly become friends because you truly get to know that person.
Right,
and
right,
he said that's what happened between him and Joplin. You know, how has the sport taught David Onama to handle that type of adversity and that type of aspect moving forward with his opponents?
Like in fighters, I love competition. I love competing. And, you know, I'm not the type of guy that hates on, like, my opponents. Because I would never hate somebody that has the same dream as me, you know what I mean? I mean, we just get into it, you know, at wins or whatever we got going on. You know, that's between us, you know what I mean? Like, and then on fight day, win or lose, like, it's always going to be respect towards me, like, no matter what. I'm always going to have respect. You know how I am. I don't ever, you know, talk back to anybody. None of that, man. I'm here to fight, handle my business, and go on about my day. But at the end of the day, man, it's all love and respect. I don't hate nobody I fight. Like, I'm not that type of guy, man. I'm not.
No, you've always been very respectable in the sport. You know, David, I kind of like to give people a different aspect or give them a different look sometimes on my show. What was it that brought you to the sport of mixed martial arts? What was it that had David Onama say that this is the path that I truly need to walk. This is the path that, you know, is truly going to make me the man I want to be.
And just growing up, man, I was always into, like, combat sports, like watching boxing. I was watching a lot of combat sports, man, boxing, MMA, and just growing up, that's all I watched. Because my dad was into boxing a lot, like back in the 70s and 80s. He was all, like, a big fan of boxing and MMA. So that kind of, because I was always with him, so he was always having me around him, you know what I mean? So everywhere he'd go, it was always either in the boxing gym or just doing some combat things. So I always told myself, man, when I get older, this is what I want to do. But at that time, I was young, so I really couldn't participate in anything. Just the older I got, man, even in high school, I was always, like, watch, like, UFC, like, boxing, and a lot of combat sports, man.
Did you ever think
when
that...
I hit... I'm
ahead.
Sorry?
Go ahead. I'll ask you in a second.
So, like, in high school, right after I graduated, looked up an MMA gym nearby my house, and first thing that popped up was Glory MMA, which was like 15 minutes away from my house. So I'm like, oh, this gym is close. And at that time, Zach was in the Ultimate Fighter house.
Yes.
Yeah, Zach was in the Ultimate
17.
Fighter. Yeah, 2017. I drove to the gym, and I saw him, and I started showing him my fights and stuff like that. And he's like, man, I really see potential in you. And he signed me up. From there on, man, we just started going at it ever since today. So,
yeah, you know, I remember a night that I was at Glory MMA and Fitness Northland. And, you know, I got there early, and I really didn't know you that well at that point in time. I knew you, but I didn't know you like I do now. And Zach said, Don, you're going to want to stay after class because there's this kid that I got to kick out of the gym. He doesn't ever want to leave. And, you know, after class, he always wants to spar with me and he wants to go hard. And so I said, all right, man, I'll hang out, you know, for an extra 30 or whatever. And let it behold, the fighter was you. And I sat there and I watched some of your ability and what what you perceived and you know, learned from Zach. And I tell you what, man, you caught my attention that night, bro, because to my listeners, listen to what he said. It's on his fourth pro fight, and I'm talking, this is a few years back, and David Onama's going full bore, going at it with Zach Cummings, a UFC veteran. What is it about that aspect of the sport, David, that has you wanting to learn more? Like Zach said, you got to kick you out of the gym to get you to leave. So what did you take away from them moments with Zach one-on-one in the gym after class?
Man, being around Zach motivates me, man. Like, every time I see him, like, do something, I want to do it too, you know? Because, man, that guy helped me a lot, but just to get where I'm at. Like, it was hard for me to leave the gym because I just want to see the things he do, you know what I mean? So, man, I was just staying in the gym, just learning, just about watching his moves, like, the way he strikes and just how he wrestles. Like, that kept me in the gym, and he was a hard worker, and he was just grinding, man. Like, that's what I want to surround myself around, people like that. That's what I like to see. So that was hard for me to get out of the gym with, because I didn't want to leave, like you said, to a point where he had to kick me out of the gym. I'm like, dang, all right.
You know,
it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's made you into the man you are today. One thing that, you know, a lot of people will say that, well, David Onama had some of the greatest aspects in the sport to lean on. You have Megan Anderson, you have Anthony Shark Big Gutierrez, you got Zach Cummings, you know, James Krause, William Joplin, Marco Hutch, and I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. LC Davis. You've had your opportunity to train with some of the greatest in the sport. You know, what do those opportunities mean for a young fighter like you, David?
Those opportunities mean a lot, man. I love being around those people, man. Those, like I said before, you know, they're family, man. They're my brothers, they're my sisters, and those are the guys you want to keep around you to motivate you and get you to where you need to be. So it's always a pleasure, you know, having them near me and helping me out with my journey. So, yeah, man, those guys, those are people that you meet around you, man. Without them, I don't know what I would be today.
Well, they sure created a beast with you, bro. You know, I remember sitting back with Tim Elliott's dad, John Elliott, you know, way back in the day, and we always used to say, man, that Onama kid's going to be something. Well, here you are now, man. You're a beast in the sport. You know, your last outing at FAC 2 was tremendous. You know, you're showing the sport time and time again that not only do you deserve opportunities, but you deserve tremendous opportunities. What would it mean truly for David Onama to get an opportunity like Grant Dawson or Megan Anderson in the UFC, or what would it mean for you just to get that opportunity in a larger promotion?
Man, that would mean a lot, man. That would mean a lot to me. Like, my whole life, man, I just want to make it to the top. I want to make it to where Grant Dawson is, where Megan is at, where Zach is at, James is at. That's where I want to follow their footsteps to where they're at. So whatever ladder they climb is, I'm right behind them because I want to be where they're at, you know? Like, watching Grant Dawson fight last weekend, man, that's where I want to be, man. Watching Megan, just watching everybody at the top, like the UFC level, that's where I want to be. So my goal this year is, man, it's to try to make it, you know? Whatever opportunity come, I want to take it. That's where I want to be. I want to be at the top, man. If it's anything, man, contender series, if it's the UFC, Bellator, like any other promotions, you know, I just want to be on the next, you know, on the next show or whatever.
Yeah, we're gonna try to make that happen, bro. I tell you what, I'm gonna get in contact with Pat, and we're going to see if we can't make that LFA aspect happen for you. You know, it's good to be in the sport this long because you kind of make a few friends. And, you know, David, after this last outing, I couldn't be more proud of you. Like I said, you proved to the sport that you deserve to be here. You showed Glory that they should be, you know, that you're part of the family and that you truly listen to some of the greatest aspects of the sport. You know, bro, I couldn't be more proud of you. To sit here 3 or 4 years after knowing you and to see what you've accomplished is tremendous. You know, and one thing I like about Glory is Glory has mirrors on the training, in the training rooms. You know, once in a while we get that brief look, or we look into a puddle, we look into a mirror, but we'll use the gym scenario this time. Let's see, you're on the mat and you just look in the mirror, and for that brief moment, you get a look at who David Onama has become. Who do you truly see, bro?
Hold on, I didn't hear you. Could you say that again? I'm sorry.
You know, when in life we get certain, you know, opportunities to look into ourselves. So when you know, let's say you're on the mat at Glory and you look into the mirror and you get a reflection into who you are, who does David Onama see, not only as a warrior, but as a man in his reflection?
Man, honestly, I just see myself, man, just being me and just doing me, you know? Like, yeah, honestly, just see myself, man, just doing me and getting better each day. I don't really see nothing else but David Onama, just trying to make it to the top, you know?
Well, they're running out of opponents for you in the Midwest, bro.
They're getting everybody from, like, man, everybody's running out. That's what Joe Wooster told me. He's like, bro, I can't find you no fights. I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, we got to figure things out.
Yeah, well,
I don't know, man.
I'll get with Wooster. We'll figure something out, bro, because one way or another, I'll get with Miletic on LFA, and I'll hit up a couple other people. But, you know, each and every time you come out, you prove to the sport that not only are you getting better, but you're doing it with humility and integrity, and you're representing Glory in the sport with tremendous aspects. You know, David, did you ever realize that when you wanted to look for a gym and you found Glory 15 minutes from your house, did you ever realize that you would become one of the top prodigies in your weight class in the sport today?
Man. I didn't really know who I was gonna be, man. Like, I just showed up to the gym, did my job, and just got better every day. But I didn't know who, like, I was gonna be this good. You know what I mean? I did not know that I was gonna be a 12-0 amateur, 4-0 pro now. I didn't even think about, you know, being like that. It just happened, man. Like, God is good, man, you know? I did not know I was going to be this good. I just kept just chasing the dream to the point where now I'm 4-0 as a pro. Like, I did not even, I don't know, it just happened, man. Like, it's a long journey, man. It's a long one.
Yeah, it truly is. But, you know, you've had people that believe
in
you.
Man.
Yeah, but you have, you know, what is it? You got someone like John Elliott and Josh Barnes and other aspects of Glory that their kids are already in the UFC, or their kids have already done something tremendous in the sport, but yet you got these aspects going, that kid's going to be somebody. That kid's going to be somebody. So, and I know you've heard those stories. Did it make you push that much harder knowing that everybody said that you were going to be something in this sport?
Yes, it did, man. Like, John Elliott always motivates me and tells me that he sees potential in me. Even you, man, like, when you saw me in the gym, like, you believe in me, you saw potential in me. people tell you a lot about me, you know. So those guys are the reason really why I'm here, man. It's people that believe in you and, you know, gives you a good word just to keep you, you know, to keep you going. Yeah, so.
That's how life should be, homie.
Yeah, that's how it should be, man.
Yeah. You know, about three years ago, I remember our first interview. What's that?
I said, I remember me and you first interview, when you first interviewed me, where I was kind of nervous. I'm not going to lie. I was nervous at first. I'm like, all right, man, it's my first phone interview with Don. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say. To where we at today, you know? Like, things got a lot better, man.
Yeah, things have changed. You talk now on the show.
Yeah.
You're not so nervous. That's what's cool.
I was. I promise you. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just like, man, it's Don, man. Just talk to Don. It's a regular phone call. Just say what you got to say to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all it is, homie. Just don't pay attention to all the people listening. But, you know, about three years ago, I started bringing a brother of mine by the name of Marco Hutch to Glory. You know, he asked me to start bringing him. I would drive an hour out of my way to get him, an hour back the same way, and then drive the 4 hours to Glory. What does it mean to have people like Marco Hutch and the others at Glory now? Because it's consistently training. So what does it feel like for David Onama to now be the one of the original old schoolers, but yet, you know, still correlate and get along and add to the family each and every day with people like Marco Hutch and Al Wagman and others in that aspect?
I'm going to start out by saying, for those who don't know who Marco Hutch is, man, that guy is a brother, man. Like, he would look up, like, look after you. If you need help, he would always be there for you. Stuck in traffic, whatever it is, you, like, just call him, and he's going to be there for you. Like, that guy is he's a brother, man. So having him in the gym, that's good, man. That guy is, he's a beast. You know his nickname. That guy fights, man. He comes to fight. Yeah. Man, I like that guy, man. I was actually with him 2 days ago, just having Chick-fil-A and just talking about fighting, man.
Yeah. Him and his chicken, bro, it's funny because this last weekend he came through my house and he brought, like, I think 6 or 8 Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
And we sat down at the table and we couldn't even eat all because our mouths were on fire because he got them spicy chicken sandwiches, homie. They killed us.
From where?
From Popeye's.
Yeah. We were just talking about that, too. I was like, man, this is why you never make weight. You always eat greasy chicken.
Right? That's what they, you know,
yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that I've known Marco since he was 14 years old. I knew him before he even got into the fight game. So Marco's like the little brother that I never had. And I'd like to consider you the same. I mean, we've spent enough time in the gym together that, you know, I'd like to consider you family. You know, David, I'm truly proud of what you did at FAC2. I'm truly, man, I'm humbled to watch you become the warrior that you have today. You know, if that opportunity doesn't come in the near and distant future, what would David Onama like to have happen or be perplexed at FAC3? Because I know you're a Kansas City favorite. I know the house is going to sell out each and every time that you're there. You know, the fans come to see you. You know, what would you like to happen next for you, son?
Are you talking about when sorry, I didn't hear part of the questions. Are you saying when I don't? When
no,
the opportunities don't come? Or could you say that again? Well, I'm sorry.
You're good, bro. I said, in the meantime, while we're waiting for the opportunities to come, you know, what is in anticipation for David Onama? What would you like to happen next while we wait for those opportunities?
Man, I'm just gonna keep doing me, staying in the gym, staying consistent, and just do me, man. Stay in the gym. Try my best to stay in the gym as possible, and just keep waiting for that next opportunity to come. You know,
yeah.
Staying patient, staying humble. You know, no need to rush. Just staying calm and just patient and waiting for it, man. But definitely just stay in the gym and get better. Building my craft, you know.
Oh, bro, you're getting there. You're already there. The opportunity just needs to come. So Scott Coker, Rich Show, Ian Matthews, Pat Miletich, all you guys better snatch this boy up. Somebody better snatch him up, because I tell you what, David, I don't think I've ever seen a young fighter come up like you. And I don't just say that, homie. I've been doing my show for 16, 17 years, and you're one of the few fighters that I've ever seen that just keeps getting better. So with that being said, if you had to make a statement to James and Zach on how grateful you are that they gave you these opportunities, what would that statement be, bro?
Man, the statement for them, I just want them to keep doing them, teaching the young kids, and just helping them to get to where they need to be. Keep seeing potential in kids, and you know, good thing is gonna keep happening to you guys and to the gym. So just keep doing you guys, and good things always gonna happen to you guys. Just keep spreading love and seeing potential in the young kids and having them grow. Cause I remember I was a kid, and you know, they see potential in me. And now look where I'm at, you know. You gotta believe in those young kids, man. Because everybody grows and become better. Not everybody stays the same. So
amen.
I really appreciate them for getting me where I'm at today. I appreciate you too, Don, man. Honestly, man. You've done a lot to me, man.
Man, you deserve it, man. I'll do anything for anybody that is wanting to make themselves better in life. And you've always done that. And, you know, you brought up a great point about glory. You know, and I want people to understand this. You know, you can go to any gym in this country, and you're really not going to get the aspect that you get at Glory. One thing I like about them is from James to Megan to Zach to David to Trey Ogden to everybody. Not only do they compete in the sport, but they give back to the youth in the sport, as David was saying. You know, David, wouldn't you say that that's one of the greatest traits about Glory, is that not only do they build fighters like you, but in turn, you fighters turn around and give back to the young kids coming up.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, that's true, man. It's not always about fighting, man. It's just showing love and respect just to anybody, you know, outside of the gym, outside of the country or whatever it is. We have people coming in the gym that didn't even know us, you know, and we always just show them love and welcome them to the gym. Like, man, it's a lot, man. Glory is a family gym. For those that don't know, like, as soon as you walk in that gym, there's always a positive energy that you're going to get. There's always love and respect, and all the fighters and teammates, coaches, staff, everybody has respect, man. So whoever it is that walks in that gym, like, you're always going to be welcome. I don't know about no other gyms but Glory, man. I haven't been to any other gyms but them.
It's not that
That's
way
the number
anywhere
one gym
else, homie.
In the Midwest.
Yeah,
not everybody has that, man.
No, they don't. That's one thing that's kind of kept me coming back to Glory. Actually, I'll be coming back to Glory Lee Summit here shortly after seeing Krause at Bellator. You know, and It was kind of hard for me to come back with Joplin being sick and then, you know, to lose Joplin. But in memory of Joplin, I need to come back and I need to shoot you guys again. You know, I truly do. You know, David, you did a tremendous job against Castillo. You did. You've proven yourself time and time again. You know, if you had to make a statement to the sport, to the promotions, to people that are just now getting to know David Onama, what would you like them to know about you, son?
Man, I'm gonna say this to the young kids. Whatever you love in this world, keep chasing that dream. Keep you know, just do what you love and just build your craft, man, and chase that journey, man. Don't ever give up on your dreams. Hard work always comes. As you can see, I started from a beginning to still trying to get better. So never just give up on your dreams. Always chasing, and dreams always come true. So never quit. Just keep going, and then you'll make it.
Amen, bro. You know, you had a tremendous outing against Antonio Castillo. I think I don't think he'll be so quick to talk smack next time.
Nah.
I don't think he won't. But bro, I promise you with all my heart, I'm gonna reach out to some people I know, and I'm gonna see what type of opportunities that I could add to your plate. I think you're a deserving athlete. I think you've proven to the sport that you're a future champion in the making. You know, your humility and your integrity is second to none. I'm proud to call you my brother. You know, David, it was an honor for me to have you on the show tonight. I think I'll tell you what, I think these promotions better pick you up, son, because if they don't, I'm going to find one that will. But I'm going to toss the
somebody
mic
better.
Yeah, right. I'm going to toss the mic to you if you have any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program. The floor is yours, homie.
No sponsorship, but I just want to thank everybody that have been supporting me from day one to now. I really appreciate you guys, because without you guys, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So, again, thank you guys, and thanks for the blessings. Thank you, guys.
Where can my listeners find you on social media, David?
On Facebook, David Onama, and on Instagram, same thing, just David Onama. Add me on Facebook, follow me on Instagram, and I'll return the favor.
Most definitely. And, bro, expect to hear from me in the next couple of days. I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to get back a hold of Pat and see what we can work out on that angle and a couple other angles, and I'll get with you and Joe Wooster, and we'll see if we can't make something happen, homie. You truly keep amazing me, man. Time and time again, you keep amazing me, bro. You keep showing the world.
Thank you.
Hey, you deserve it, brother. All the thanks goes to you. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight, man. You have a tremendous evening, and God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Don. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, we're going to get you back on again, man. Now that we know you can speak, we're going to get you back on again. I love you, homie.
Love you too, man.
All right, man. Good night, man. Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, that was David Onama. He's a character. You really got to know him in real life, but you know what? That kid's a beast. And, man, undefeated throughout all of his amateur fights, undefeated as a pro, getting better every time he steps out there into the octagon. And I got to tell you, you know, James Krause and Zach Cummings and Megan Anderson and Trey Ogden and everybody else affiliated with Glory, they have truly built one hell of a warrior in David Onama. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cut Man for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran and Juan Ramirez, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice, and last but not least, the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie. With that being said, I'm going to take us out with a little bit of Soul Rebel Project. Have a good night, and God bless.
sweet like soda pop. Get mad and envious. I'm the friendliest, don't get it twisted.